But today, but now, Christmas is over. Christmas is over. So now, what do? Now, what's up? I know that about a month ago, I, along with millions of others, started decorating your houses. You know, some of us are homes with Christmas lights and all that. Some neighborhoods were in competition with one another, you know, just going all out, right? And so all the decorations going up right after Thanksgiving, some folks, they just wait, hey, it's Christmas time, right? But I believe I can safely say that for children, their main focus is usually on Christmas morning, right? They're waiting for Christmas morning so they can start opening up those presents, and they get up and, and it's fun. It's a joy to watch the little kids opening their presents, and even big kids, too, opening up their gifts to see what is there. And then after all the presents are opening, then we gather around the table for that that family Christmas meal, right? And we try to recover from that. And at the end of the day, when all the gifts have been opened and there's nothing left under the tree, Christmas is over. For many, I mean, that's a pretty dramatic ending, right? It's done. However, what comes after Christmas is perhaps the most important part about Christmas. I always look forward. I think some people, you know, they're like, oh, great, Christmas is done. And so, like, today they'll go to the stores because there are Christmas sales, right? So, but the day after Christmas is so important. The days, the weeks after Christmas are very important. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me. This text this morning that we'll be reading from is found in Luke. I know that we've been in Luke for about the last month, and so one more Sunday in Luke, all right? Luke, the second chapter, verses 17 through 20. And it reads, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Heavenly Father, this morning we do thank you for this month, this Advent month, recognizing the Christ child, your Son, our Savior, who came from a kingdom to this earth. And so this morning we look to see what we can pull from your word to guide us through this next year. And Heavenly Father, again, just I pray for your anointing this morning, that I would share your word without timidity. In your name I pray. Amen. So, again, for all intentional purposes, Christmas is over. The presents have been opened. The decorations probably have already maybe started to come down. But I guess by New Year's, all the presents, I mean, all the trees and all the decorations will come down. Except for my house, the tree becomes a plant. And so it stays there until April. But that's okay. I love you, babe. Oh, I'm going to get it. But for most people, you know, everything by New Year's, everything is put away. So the simple question is, what will you do now that Christmas is over. That this passage that we read this morning gives us three ways to respond to the close of Christmas 2021. So the first one is pondering. Verse 19, when it says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering these things, pondering them in her heart." After Christmas, I believe is a time for us to reflect on what you've heard, what you've seen. How many times have you heard the Christmas story, right? How many times have you heard this passage, these passages read from Luke? I would imagine you've heard the story so many times, this same passage, the same story about Jesus, that any one of you right now could get up here and say, "Scoot over, Pastor JR, I got this. I can do this." I've heard that story so many times, and unfortunately, I think that because we've heard the story so many times that our heart becomes kind of calloused to the story, the message that it's trying to bring, because we're like, "Oh, geez, yeah, okay, Jesus born in a manger, yeah, I've heard it, you know, Mary on the donkey, you know, all that, yeah. And how unfortunate it is, I think, for us, if we ever, if we have that state of mind, to where we would be so callous, to like saying, "Okay, here we go again." Does the phrase familiarity breeds contempt? I think the first way to respond to the Christmas message is to make it fresh in your heart by pondering it in a new way. In a new way, just like saying, "Okay, have the ears and the sight to look at this text and say, Father, open it up to me this year in a new way." I don't know how many times, I would imagine you too. Have you not ever read a text that you've read so many times that all of a sudden, bow, you're just like, I just never read it like that before. There was this chauffeur who was driving this chemistry professor around to different places, different events, and he always had the same canned message. And the chauffeur had heard it so many times, he's like, "Oh, geez." He's like, the chauffeur said, "I could do this in my sleep." And he told the professor, he said, "You know what? I could do your speech. I've heard so many times I could do it." And the professor, like, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Well, let's make this interesting." And so there was a wager made for $50. And so the chauffeur pulled over and they switched garments. And so now the chauffeur's wearing this, you know, tuxedo, and you know, this professor is now wearing the garb of a chauffeur. And so the gentleman comes in and he goes up to the front table. Maybe not a lot of people know this, have seen this guy. I think that'd be the first thing. But he gets up there and they introduce him. And the chauffeur, he starts speaking. He knocks it out of the park. Knocks it out of the park. Word for word, he's got it. People are like up in their seats. "Oh, yeah! You're good. I like that. That was tremendous." And so then everyone sits down and the MC says, okay, so we have a little extra time on our hands, so we're just going to open the floor to some question and answer period, you know, some Q&A. And so if you've got a couple questions, you know, we have the professor here, and ask your questions. So now, you know, the chauffeur is standing there, and someone asks this question that was like way above him. And he just like trying to collect his thoughts and like, "Oh, geez." And then he says, finally, "You know, that question is so dumb." That's a dumb question. That question's so dumb. My chauffeur could answer that question. If you think about it, some Christmas traditions are very strange too. There's this greeting card that says basically, what is Christmas? It's just plain weird. What other time of year do you sit around a tree that's dying in your living room and eat candy out of a sock? But there's some things that are weird that some people may think are weird about the whole Christmas story, right? That, you know, you're like saying, really? Okay, so the Christmas story, a virgin teenager gets pregnant. She's visited by angels. There's this tax that Caesar puts on them. There's the trip to Bethlehem. You know, she's with child on that donkey. No woman in their right mind is going to get on a donkey like ready to have a baby in like 2 days, right? That's weird. God was born in a stable. It's too incredible to believe. You and I have heard this story so many times, but have you ever stopped to really think about it? Famous author, writer C.S. Lewis said, "We don't need to be told new ideas so much as we need to be reminded of the old truths." So often we're saying, oh, give me something new. Because I've heard that before. We need to be reminded of those old truths. This Christmas, we remember again the true meaning of Christmas. God gave himself to us. He was born as one of us so that we might be born again into his family. The baby born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years is a savior to us all. Let's not forget the reason this whole season is about. Granted, I'll be the first. I like to get a gift too. I like all of that, but let's not get so wrapped and engulfed in all of that that we miss the meaning of Christmas. There was a story. There's a story of these Europeans. They were well off. Had a mansion, and they were going to have a baby dedication in their mansion. And so everyone that's coming to their place, they're all suited up, right? And some three dozen people are coming through this affair. Everybody's like had, you know, the hors d'oeuvres and everything else. And everybody's coming in and putting their garments on the bed, you know, their shawls and everything else. And it comes to the point, for the main purpose of the gathering, this infant ceremony, but there was no baby. Everyone's looking for the baby. Where's the baby at? Of course, the mom should know where the baby's at, but she doesn't know where the baby's at. And so finally, they're like, you know, looking into the woman who takes care of the child, they're like, where's the baby at? And everybody's in an uproar, where's the baby? And then finally, someone said, oh, I think I saw the baby on the bed. So they go to the bed and they start pulling off the garments, and there the baby was. Alive, mind you. I wasn't going to go that deep, okay? It's still Christmas, all right. But there the baby was underneath all those garments. The whole reason why everyone was there was for the baby, for the baby dedication. So much like the Advent season, it seems like we bury it with all sorts of things. We say that they're justified, but and don't get me wrong, but the thing is that the main reason this whole season about is about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. We need to quit burying him. Where's the baby? Point number two. We read in point number two is praising. Verse 20, it says, all the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The shepherds had witnessed the world's greatest birth announcement ever. And I'm sure you have heard and read these words so many times, but let me highlight one word to you. That word is you. Turn with me to Luke 2. Just go up the page in your Bibles or scroll up in your device to Luke 2, 10, 12. And it reads, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news for a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be your sign. For you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. How many times did I say you? Five times? You. The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. This sign is for you. You will find the baby. The angel's message to the shepherds was that Jesus is your Savior, your King, your Christ, your gift straight from God. Just for you. Sometimes we focus on the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But let me say this to you. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son. If in most homes like mine, during Christmas, gifts, the gifts, people, you know, you always put names on the gifts, you know, for the most part. Sometimes you forget, right? You're like, oh, who's this for? You know, but the bottom line is, hey, each one of those gifts have a name on it. So you know who's supposed to be receiving that gift. You can tell which gift belongs to who. The message that the angels were saying is this, that Jesus is your gift this Christmas. He's your gift. Your name is on that gift. The fact that Jesus came for you means that you need to respond to this incredible gift that you've been given. What will you do with Jesus? How will you personally respond? I mean, just think about it. Just yesterday, you know, you had that favorite gift. You're like I witnessed my great granddaughter. She got this gift. It's like a gift card, but with coins for your device or something it's a card for games. You can download more games and you can add extra bullets or whatever, extra smiles or whatever you want. It gives you extra more power. But you have all this, it's like coins, but right? And so she got these two cards, right? And she got them, and she might not know a lot of English, But she saw those cards and she just fell out like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I'm just like, listen to this 8-year-old from Mexico. All of a sudden, she's just like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know? Maybe you got a gift like that, right? Or you saw your kids getting laid like, oh, this is my favorite truck. Or this is my favorite doll. You get excited. Right? Like, look at this. I've always wanted this. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the best gift you could ever receive. Don't you want to get excited about me, this gift? I know you're going to tell everybody what gift you got for Christmas, right? How many of us will tell our neighbor, our people that we go to work with, our schoolmates, hey, let me tell you about this gift. And they'll be like, what'd you get? How many of you will say, hey, I got this gift. His name is Jesus. I got this gift. And he came for me. God's gift is for you. And how you determine, and only you can determine how you'll respond. And you respond through praising him. Not just with song, but just praising him like, hey, I've got Jesus. I read where someone said, we have become a generation of people who worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. Leonard Sweet, an American theologian, author of several books, Jesus Manifesto, I Am a Follower, just to name a couple of books he's authored. He said, our pews are occupied by people who want to be moved, but who don't want to move. They say they want to be moved. Oh, please move me. Oh, but this is my chair. I'm staying right, I'm right here. This is the chair I come into every Sunday, and I am here. Please move me. But what are you doing? We crave the experience of worship, but don't work towards it. But worship is what we were created for. That's what we were created for, to give him praise. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. There's nothing like having praises sing. Just in anything in life, you know, you do something great, you know, your kid's playing football, you know, like, hey, look at my kid. The kid is like saying, oh, please, mom, take it down a notch, you know, but, you know, you're praising your kid, all right? And the kid, deep inside, they're like, oh, man, people are shouting for me, about me. There's nothing like praises being sang. So how do you think our Heavenly Father feels when we choose to praise him? Not out of some sense of duty, but from our heart of hearts, we're like, hey, yeah, God. Thirdly, proclaiming verses 17 and 18, where it says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The third way to respond to the gift of Christ is by proclaiming Him. Treasuring Christ is something we do not by keeping it to ourselves, but by making Him known to the whole world. Making Him known to the whole world. What good is it if we have that love and knowledge of Christ, that treasure, but we don't share it? There was a man who was found dead one morning in the comfort of his home, and he had like over 246 violins which he had collected. One of them being a Stradivarius, right? Everybody knows, you might not know anything about a violin, but you know what Stradivarius, that's like high-end instrument. It was there, and it hadn't been played for some 147 years. One would say, wow, what a waste. 140 years of an instrument being kept quiet. How about us? Such wealth. Such joy, such music that comes from you. You, when you share your story, people may not come and people may not read this. People may not come. People will not come to know Jesus Christ like through this alone. They're going to hear Jesus Christ when you share your story. What's the song we sang this morning? Go. Tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain. That's what we're supposed to do. Just like the shepherds who went away that first Christmas to tell everybody they met. There were so many who had come to see Jesus, like the angels who interrupted the shepherd's sleep. The world needs the light of Christ to come into them, to wake us up from our sleep. No longer should we remain dormant, lethargic. We need to wake up. Just like the shepherds, they woke up and they went, like I shared a couple of weeks ago, they went from shepherds to missionaries because they could no longer keep the news that they had heard, the sight that they had seen. There's no way they could keep quiet about it. The charge that I place on each and every one of you is not my charge. The charge that Jesus Christ has placed on each and every one of you. Okay, so that has a little bit more precedence, right? What Jesus said, He's saying, hey, don't keep quiet. Children, my children, please don't keep quiet. Stand up and speak about the love that you have for me. Speak up about the love that I have for everyone. He's expecting you to. What ambassador keeps his mouth closed? You're a representative of the Lord Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're all ambassadors. It does no good to be an ambassador if you say nothing. And that gift, of Christ, if not shared, is like the gift that's under the tree that's unwrapped. Heavenly Father, this morning, we may be tired coming through this season, but I pray, Father, that by reading your word, we would be revitalized, that we would come alive, that we would be willing to share the good news that Christ the Savior is born. And more importantly, that you're here for no other reason than for us. You created us and you said, this, out of all the things, out of all the galaxies, the stars I've placed in place, the oceans deep, the formations that I've orchestrated that rotate around the sun, and out of all those things, my most prized possession are the men and women I've placed on this planet that I created especially special for them. Heavenly Father, thank you. Amen.